a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission will come to order. Today is October 31st. Happy Halloween. It is 9:30 a.m. We are in room 413 of the Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. With me today are Commissioners Feagin and Commissioner Nelson. My name is Gary Hansen. We will check the phone number, see who is on the phone with us this morning. Basil Copeland. Mr. Copeland, are you with us? Bob Towers?
Here.
Dave Peterson?
Here.
Jack Paus?
Here.
Now, is it Paus?
Pose, like you're posing for a picture.
Thank you.
No problem.
Basil, I did not hear you. If you said yes, you were on mute. If you have joined us, please say hello. If not, we will proceed. Today's agenda has one item. It's a natural gas item, docket number NG12-008, in the matter of the application of Montana Dakota Utilities Company for authority to increase its natural gas rates. The question before the commission is, today shall a commission grant the joint motion for approval of settlement stipulation and approve the rates, tariff sheets, terms, and conditions stipulated therein, or how shall the commission proceed? We've had quite a bit of information on this, and there was an intervention. However, that was withdrawn, and the commission accepted that. I'm not aware of any interveners at this time on this docket. We will proceed with MDU. Mr. Kenneke.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and staff. Brett Kenneke from Pierre, representing Montana Dakota Utilities. We've got several company employees and officials from Bismarck, and if you'd permit me to introduce them. Seated behind me is Mark Hansen from Corporate Communications, Galen Luter, a regulatory analyst, Caitlin Strabi, a compliance officer. Seated to your right is Tammy Eberle, Director of Regulatory Affairs, and Garrett Sanger, Vice President, Regulatory Affairs and Chief Accounting Officer. And to my right is Frank Morehouse, President and CEO of Montana Dakota Utilities. So we're here this morning seeking approval of the settlement we reached with staff in the natural gas rate case. We filed last December, put interim rates into effect in July of this year. We were asked more than 10 rounds of data requests by staff throughout the late summer and into the early fall, and responded to those as best we could. There was testimony filed on both sides. There was a lot of work put into this case. I want to stress that fact as I sit here. The company and staff both worked very, very hard and very diligently on this case. There's no question about that. And through the course of the fall, we held several discussions, both telephonically and face-to-face, at which we shared more information about the filing that we had made with staff. And staff was able to synthesize and put that together into finally we reached a settlement with staff that we think is in the best interest of the customers and the company. I really want to say a thank you to the staff that worked hard on this case, seated over here to your left. I know that I got emails at night frequently from staff on this case. That was just not unusual at all. They were working tremendously hard to put together the numbers and understand our position and where the business is and where it needs to go. I would also like to say there's nothing out of the ordinary with this rate case. There's not a large installation of a electric facility that's driving a rate case like this. This is I hate to use the word, but it's true. It's a very ordinary rate case. It's the first rate case in about 10 years. It consolidates the two rate areas in this state. That might be the only factor that's somewhat out of the ordinary in this rate case. And so we would stand by to answer any questions that you might have. I know Frank's got a few words he'd like to say this morning, and we would hope to leave here having the settlement be approved by the commissioners this morning. So thank you very much.
Good morning, commissioners. It's truly an honor to be in front of you here today and present to you this settlement. We are very proud as a company to be a member of the business community here in the state of South Dakota. South Dakota is a great state for us to do business in, and we find it a great state for all businesses. It's good for our business as we see the state's economy grow, so we truly love being here. Again, as Brett said, our compliments to your staff and our staff for a lot of hard work on this. I think both staffs are to be commended with the amount of effort that was put into this, and I think it's a very reasonable settlement position that we've attained. You know, it's been 8 to 9 years, depending on which area we look at, since we've been before you for a rate change. And one of the things that we look at is the total cost. If you look back and you combine our margin and the gas costs, we saw prices over $13 back in 2005. And today, with this rate change in effect, we're going to see prices just a little over $7. It's almost a 50% decrease in total energy cost delivered to a consumer. Well, we look at that. There's a lot of things that have gone into it. We've made considerable capital investments in the systems, more than $30 million over that period of time. We've also worked extremely hard to control our costs. Over that period of time, you saw the consumer price index increase 21%, and believe it or not, our operations and maintenance costs have reduced that same amount, 21% over that period of time. That takes a lot of work, implementation of technology, very diligent work on part of our operating staff that's here in these communities that we serve, and we're pretty proud of that fact that we've worked so hard to control these expenses in this very tough environment that we've seen with the economy over that period of time. All in all, I think I'd boil it down and say our company provides very essential energy services that heat homes and businesses, help prepare food, dry our clothes, heat our water at what we think is a very fair, very reasonable rate. And with that, I'd look to you and say we'd ask that you'd approve this settlement as has been presented, and we'd be available to answer any questions that we can. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Ms. Edwards, are you the lead for the staff on this?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Kristen Edwards of staff. Staff in Montana Dakota Utilities filed a joint motion for approval of the settlement stipulation in this matter. The settlement stipulation reflects the efforts of many individuals. Staff did file testimony and, in fact, even answered at least one data request from Montana Dakota. The parties worked through the issues and ultimately reached a result that is acceptable to both Montana, Dakota, and to staff. Staff believes we have reached an appropriate balance of all of the issues and interests at stake. Staff analysts are available here or on the phone for questioning. Staff would recommend the Commission grant the joint motion for approval of the settlement stipulation and adopt the attached stipulation without modification for docket NG12-008. Thank you, and we stand by for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. We will go to Commissioner questions in just a minute. I would like to point out one thing because of in rate cases, it's often a situation where I was a regulator, I always wondered about the protection of the consumer and the relationship of the regulator with the utility. I'd just like to read a couple of chapters from the state law. In 4934A8, it states that the Public Utilities Commission, in the exercise of its power under this chapter, is to determine just and reasonable rates for public utilities, shall give due consideration to the public need for adequate, efficient, and reasonable service, and to the end of the public utility for revenue sufficient to enable it to meet its total current cost of furnishing such service, including taxes and interest, and including adequate provision for depreciation of its utility property and used and necessary in rendering service to the public and to earn a fair and reasonable return upon the value of its property. So in one very strong sense, the state law states that the Public Utilities Commission is to look out for the interests of the utility. We are to be certain that the utility has enough funds in order to operate, in order to provide the proper utility service to the customer. In another chapter, it states that, and I won't read the entire portion of it, but it states that the public shall pay only just and reasonable rates for service rendered. So the state law has, of which we as quasi-judicial entity have a responsibility for looking out for the interests of both the consumer as well as utility, and it's a balancing act. And I bring this up because we as commissioners are asked this question when we're out among the citizens and they're concerned, especially with rate cases, especially now with as many rate filings as there have been, that we do have to look out for and be very cautious from a standpoint of a balance to make certain that we are that the two entities are both treated fairly by this commission. And we will turn to questions at this time. I have several. I assume that my other commissioners have. I'll just ask one, and then I'll or one or two, and then I'll let the other commissioners ask some. I have several, but I assume they have similar ones. Mr. Kaneki, you stated in your opening remark that this is a very ordinary rate case. Of course, no rate case is ordinary for us, but I understand what you're saying. I won't worry about the semantics. However, there is there is a twist to this particular rate case from the standpoint that we are blending the East with the West, which historically is often a challenge in South Dakota. And wondering if, since that is something that we have seen in the newspaper and we've been asked about, if you could touch on that, and then I'll turn and ask staff to discuss that as well. Because we have a situation here where the blending of the rates means that there's a increase in rates on one side of the river and a decrease on the other side of the river. Would you address that, please?
We'd be glad to, Commissioner.
Excuse me, would you have one of your staff?
Thank you, Commissioner. I would expect that perhaps we're looking at having maybe more than a question, but a conversation about that. I think there's a lot of things to be shared about the notion of putting the two historically separate rate areas together. I'll probably turn to Tammy first to have her share what her thoughts are on that, but I wouldn't be surprised that Frank and Garrett have thoughts that they want to share as well. So looking forward to having that conversation, and of course we expected that coming in here this morning. That is the central feature of the rate case is that very part. So with that, I'll probably let Tammy take a swing at it first.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Tammy Aberle with Montana Dakota Utilities. We proposed the consolidation in this particular case. We've been really watching and taking a look at what point in time does it make sense to try to roll those two rate areas together. That was truly always our intent. When we first came into the East River area, which includes Pier, Mobridge, you know, up through that area, the east side of the river, that was approximately 20 years ago. It was exactly 20 years ago, I think, 1993. When we brought gas into this area. At that time, the distribution costs were, of course, much higher as a new, completely new system, and recognized that that was not a good time to try to roll that into one state jurisdictional rate. But as time has passed, as I said, 20 years, those costs have come closer together. We do operate The two systems as one, the operations, there's a lot of similar costs between the two systems. Depreciation rates are the same. The, you know, administrative cost, administratively, we operate it as the same jurisdiction. And so we see some value, actually, to the Black Hills customers over time. We see a lot of load growth over on this side of the system. And so as time goes on, that load growth helps to offset fixed costs that would otherwise be going just to Black Hills. So there are those advantages. It again, administratively, and from both our side, and I think even from customers' understanding, seeing one set of rates with really a minimal impact to the Black Hills customers. Because even with the rate increase that is part of this settlement, the residential customers' increase is still just $2 a month. And that includes, you know, the entire settlement, the increase in the revenue requirement, as well as the consolidation. So those were some of the points that I had in mind to share.
Thank you. Staff? Ms. Melhoff?
Dave Peterson, would you care to comment?
Sure. I was the one, I guess, that principally analyzed and helped the staff make its ultimate recommendation on rate consolidation. But unlike MDU, we didn't begin looking at this with the idea that there should be rate consolidation. We were naturally skeptical of MDU's plan to consolidate at this time. So we did like we do with most issues. We sat down and made a list of things that argued for consolidation and the things that we thought argued against consolidation. And, you know, I can go over that list a little bit with you briefly to see, you know, our thought behind our recommendation. On the con side, the against consolidation, you know, we know that the distribution systems are not physically interconnected. They have their own. And to some extent, the physical plant is different in certain respects. The plant in the Black Hills area was installed for the most part many years ago, and the terrain and conditions of fixing that plant underground is different than it is in eastern South Dakota. So those are the differences, you know, strike us as the most significant hurdle for this rate consolidation. So we want to look at both sides of the issues, though. So we made a list of things that we argued for consolidation. Perhaps one of the bigger issues that we looked at was the largest cost of service item for MDU is purchase gas costs. And those costs have been set on a system-wide basis or a consolidated basis since 1998. So thus, most of the MDU's revenue requirement has already been consolidated through the PGA filings. As Ms. Eberle mentioned, a great deal of MDU's A&G costs, you know, the cost of managing the system, the human resources, the executive management, employee benefits and such, are all managed on a centralized basis already. It's already a consolidated. There are system synergies when utilities consolidate in a service company type environment and provide centralized services for diverse operations such as gas, electric, you know, unregulated. And the same holds true for diversity between Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota operations, and gas and electric operations. So those functions have already been, to a large extent, consolidated. labor costs are in a great sense consolidated already because they operate negotiate with a single labor union. Direct labor costs and benefits are for the most part consolidated. Depreciation is another significant item for MDU. The depreciation rates are already consolidated between East River and Black Hills. The same set of book depreciation rates are used for both sets of property. Ms. Eberle mentioned that it's been now 20 years since the East River system was developed. That plant is already aging. The MDU in its Black Hills is replacing plant. Normally in the life cycle, revenue requirement life cycle of a plant, the earlier years are more expensive than the later years. But as plant additions are necessary in the Black Hills area, we're going to expect to see that the remaining lives of plant, which had a diverse cost initially between the Black Hills Division and the East River Division, we're going to see a divergence of that as plant ages and plant is being replaced. And then, as Ms. Eberle mentioned, also the administrative cost of the company to keep two separate sets of books for South Dakota-only operations, even though most of their costs have already been consolidated, and the rate case simplification for the commission staff, those elements argued for rate consolidation. When we lined all these up on a piece of paper, we felt that the benefits far outweighed any detriment of keeping the rates separate. So that really was the basis for the staff to recommend to the commission that the rate areas now be consolidated. We think it's an opportune time when the rate increase, the overall rate increase, is relatively small, that the rates now be consolidated.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. And did you, at the beginning of your remarks, did you state that you were somewhat skeptical at first as to whether or not the blending of the rates should take place?
Yes.
Okay, well, I appreciate hearing that and you attacking the question from that standpoint. Is it your opinion that West River is not subsidizing East River and East River is not subsidizing West River?
For distribution services, there has been no subsidization in the past because the rates have been separate. If you approve the settlement, both East River and West River and Black Hills Division will be paying identical rates. There will be no subsidization within the class. Where we saw subsidies in the past was that the from the class cost of service study, the small general service and small interruptible customers were subsidizing. There was a subsidy to the Black Hills residential customers, and we have eliminated that or attempted to eliminate most of that in this rate design.
Thank you very much. Well, there has been quite a bit of, as Mr. Morehouse and Mr. Kaneki pointed out, there's been a tremendous amount of information back and forth and questions asked and answers given, and this is rather, it may be an ordinary rate case, but it's still a complex one, and I'm sure my fellow commissioners have some questions or comments, and so I will turn to Vice Chairman Nelson.
Thank you. Just a couple. I'd say to both the company and to staff, reading through your testimony and the staff memo, which was very well done, frankly answered most of my questions. There's not a lot of outstanding questions other than, I think, just a couple. Mr. Kaneki, you did use the word ordinary rate case, and I focused in on that, too. So if you were to, and Mr. Morehouse talked about the fact that the companies worked hard to drive down their operation and maintenance expenses, so what's driving the increase? If you could summarize, what's driving the increase?
In summary, what's driving the increase would be the investment made over that 8 to 9 year time frame, where our net plant investment has grown from about over $60 million to over $90 million during that time frame. That's really what's driven, you know, this request for increase. The investments made in the system.
Thank you. And the only other question I've got, maybe for staff, I know there was this issue of the heating degree days, whether it was 60 or 65, and I saw in the settlement that you had a change in your weather normalization dollar figure, but I didn't see where you ever divulged how you resolved the 60 versus 65, and if you could share that with us, I'd appreciate it.
The company agreed to use the 65 degree day base.
Okay. That is all the questions I've got.
Commissioner Fagan, do you have any questions?
Yes. First of all, thank you so much for working so hard on this. It's easy as a consumer to look at the 100,000-foot level and look at it but not study it and get it down into the detail. So a lot of my questions are kind of at the 100,000-foot level, so you can talk about the detail and how we get places. First of all, thank you for negotiating staff about the MDU Billings landfill. That was an expensive gas cost and an expensive cost to our consumers in South Dakota, and I appreciate your negotiations on that to really look out for the consumers in South Dakota on that and for MDU to agree with what this staff brought to you. And actually, you even went further than what the staff asked you to do to protect our consumers in South Dakota. So you really had good faith in that, and I certainly appreciate what you did for the South Dakota consumers on that. Just a couple things on just education on the difference between gas and electric, and now I'm just going to be educated from you if I could ask you a question on Dave Peterson talked about the cost of the PGA and gas, and he said it's a lot more expensive than electric, I'm assuming. I'm assuming the gas cost that we all pay that fluctuate and are volatile is around 60 or 70% of our bill compared to electric that is probably around 30, but I'm just asking you so everybody knows that information.
Mr. Fagan, Tammy Eberle, that would be correct. Our gas is running around 70% of a typical residential bill.
So what is interesting in a gas case versus an electric case is that we're really looking at 30% when we look at rate base versus an electric. It's the direct opposite. So it's gas cases are just fascinating in general. Also, it's interesting, I agree, all three commissioners really looked at the merge. And we wanted to make sure, as you know, when you come to us in a rate case, and thank you for not coming since 2004, 2005, but when you come, you really look, our basic belief is commissioners, I believe, and I think all three of us would say this, especially when we look at it, our basic belief is to bring and make sure that other classes aren't subsidizing each other. And when you bring a rate case, we get to relook at that and make sure that's not happening. If you look at the 100,000-foot level, it looks like in eastern South Dakota, if you don't use very much gas, or in fact, if you even shut it off for a month, you're paying a lot of money, or your increase is extremely high. I'm assuming that your basic service charge is a fixed cost. And before you came to us today, actually the larger user was subsidizing the very small user. Is that correct?
Commissioner Fagan, this is Tammy Eberle again, and that is correct. The basic service charge is the component of the bill where we collect fixed costs. And so in East River System, it was well below what we had identified as our cost. While we're not necessarily in total agreement, our class cost of service study indicated that the customer cost is, that fixed component is more like $13. So we're making moves toward that. recognizing, you know, there's subsidies within that class, and there will continue to be to the extent we're collecting fixed costs on a volumetric basis. But again, those class studies, staff would have a little bit different opinion. We both agreed that at a minimum it needed to be at the, we charge it on a daily basis just to account for cut-ins and cut-outs of service, but at 28 cents a day.
Thank you. And I appreciate Dave Peterson's work on that and the negotiations that you had, because that fixed cost should be as accurate as possible so that we're not having classes subsidize other classes or users subsidizing other users. And I appreciate that basic belief that commissioners believe is trying not to subsidize. Dave Peterson, you investigated and you get the work papers that we don't get to see on incentive pay. And the very first thing you did is you threw out all incentive pay because your belief, and I'm sure it's because you got different work papers and asked for more information from MDU that we didn't get to see. But the first time you threw everything out, and then you brought it all back in except one-third cost. Tell me how you came up with that ratepayers are paying two-thirds of the cost. And also, just again, sometimes at the 100,000 foot level, it's interesting, but incentive pay in South Dakota for gas, we pay a very small percentage of that because there's other states that pay part of that. There's non-regulated and regulated that pay for that. So South Dakota's incentive pay is actually very small, or I don't know, very small, but small. But could you tell us, Dave Peterson, how you changed your opinion and how you came up with two-thirds?
Okay, well, first of all, I did not change my opinion. I'm very passionate about this issue. MDU has a type of a incentive compensation plan, as do many other utilities, that require it... require that shareholders be compensated adequately through a threshold earnings per share before any incentive compensation is paid. And in my mind, that places the utility's interest or the stockholders' interest above ratepayer interest, and that the stockholder should then pay for all incentive compensation. Other utilities, including Black Hills, don't have that threshold requirement before incentive compensation is paid. In other words, if there are safety objectives or customer service objectives and they're met, those are paid regardless of what the company's earnings are. Those types of plans I have no problem with, except for those elements that relate to utilities' financial earnings. You know, but traditionally, the staff has taken the position for settlement purposes to eliminate only those incentive compensation plans or payments that are made strictly on the basis of achieving financial performance measures. So,
I'm sorry, I asked the wrong question, Dave Peterson. I didn't mean you changed your opinion.
Yeah.
You modified the dollars. And
yes.
So there must have been something that you saw, and it appeared to me when I read your testimony, you thought all of it was financially based. So what did you see?
No, it's not all financially based, but there is a financial trigger. In other words, they have to achieve 85% of their target earnings per share before any incentive compensation is paid.
Correct, and that says it in your testimony.
Yeah, that's the financial trigger that I objected to. You know, that didn't change. What did change in negotiations is that we accepted a lesser amount based on what we've done for all the other utilities in the state in the last several years. In other words, if this were to remain a litigated case, I would stand by my initial position. But because of, you know, other concessions made on other issues, we were willing to back off on this one, at least with respect to consumer safety, customer satisfaction, and other operating performance measures, but not on the financial measures.
Okay. So you're convinced that the incentive pay that you put back in the negotiations is for ratepayers' benefit, for safety, customer service, et cetera.
Yeah, this one, MDUs doesn't really have a safety component in their overall plan. There are other safety incentives that they're given, but in their annual incentive plan, safety isn't a specific component, but operational goals and customer satisfaction goals are included, and we think those are worthwhile goals if they didn't have a financial trigger attached to them.
So you're convinced your negotiations is ratepayer benefited based?
The ratepayers do benefit when those goals are achieved, yes, and this is the same treatment that we've given for every other utility in the state.
Okay. And just one more question for Mr. Pose. You did a very lengthy analysis of depreciation, and I'm not for sure if we've hired somebody before to do a very lengthy analysis of depreciation. You worked really hard, it looks like, in your negotiations with MDU. And MDU, of course, had a study prior to, so we had to have somebody to really look for the ratepayer to make sure that was accurate. Could you just give us maybe a 30,000-foot level of, and we see a little bit in your staff memo, but could you just give us a little bit more information since this was kind of new for us?
Okay. Basically, depreciation is the recovery of capital over time plus the recovery of expected future net salvage. And so you've got two components. Both of them are projections. One, you've got more data. You've got a historical plan activity level where you can do some historical analysis, and you have to assume, will history be a reasonable predictor of the future? Net salvage is a little bit more difficult because...
And you know what? I'm sorry. Could you... Because a lot of us have worked in depreciation, but could you kind of tell us the differences between what you saw and what MDU was showing in their study? Sorry about that.
Oh, that's no problem. What I saw, the main issue on the life was that they were seeking a 47-year average.
And I'm sorry, are you on a speakerphone or a cell phone? Because you're cutting out about every other word.
I'm on a landline.
You are on a landline. And
yes,
that landline must have a quality service issue. Commissioner Nelson, are you on the telecom committee? Could you find out who the service provider is?
I think it's CenturyLink. But I'll try and speak slowly, and if I'm cutting out too much, I'll try again. But the key issue is, on the life side, is account 376. That's Distribution Mains, largest account. The company was proposing 47-year average service life. After I did the analysis on the available data, I thought that something closer to 60 was more realistic. For settlement purposes, given the subjectivity of the overall process and the company's willingness to agree on the net salvage components, which I'll get to in a moment, it was reasonable to accept that as a reasonable overall settlement. On the net salvage side, the company's proposals reflect some of the largest negative net salvage you're going to find anywhere in the industry. And the company was agreeable to restrict the level of increase that they were asking on that. But this will be an issue in the future also. So the concept is that you have to analyze the history, you have to look at what future expectations are. The company's study did not do what I would consider as detailed an analysis as probably was warranted, and made it a little bit more difficult to do our analysis. Hopefully in the future they will present a more detailed and thorough study. But for a current certainty as to what depreciation should be for going forward, the blending of the life adjustment and the salvage adjustment was a reasonable compromise.
Sir?
Yes.
Are you wearing a headset?
No.
I'm going to suggest that to you move the mouthpiece just a little bit away from your mouth. Maybe it's the air hitting it that's creating a little bit of a challenge for us. But and perhaps I'm dilatory in asking you to do that. If you're already done.
Yes, I'm done. I can go back and repeat anything you want me to repeat or talk about.
I'll look at the court reporter if you'll pause. Ms. Sherry? Okay. No, we're fine. Thank you, sir. Commissioner
Sorry
Pega?
About the connection.
Commissioner Pega?
You know, those are my questions, but I want to thank staff again for your very hard work on looking out for ratepayers and really working on to make sure that the consolidation plan really benefited not only West River but East River, because as we know, West River certainly has older infrastructure than East River, so it will certainly be a benefit for them in the future too. So thank you so much for all your hard work.
Good points and good questions by the fellow commissioners. Appreciate the give and take and the information that was provided. It's really hard to express just how much information is exchanged during a rate case without someone going to our website and reading it themselves or attempting to read it themselves. In a Rapid City Journal editorial, they remarked that they were directed to examine the documents and testimony, and they used the word voluminous. And that certainly is. There's a tremendous amount of work that goes into these rate cases, and we all appreciate very much the give and take that's taken place, and especially as Commissioner Feagin and I believe Commissioner Nelson already pointed out, the safeguarding and protection that the PUC staff made and the work that they did in making certain that the consumer doesn't pay any more than they need to. Certainly, they did an excellent job, and in going through all of the information, it's apparent that there was a I'm glad that I was not on the MDU side and had to answer all of the questions and go through all of the work that you had to for staff. But we sincerely appreciate the give and take that took place there. I have a couple of more questions. One is just my own inability to find some information. And whoever can answer it, please do. But in the Billings landfill, the gas production facilities at Billings, Montana landfill, the methane there, staff recommended the company be allowed to recover its Billings landfill production-related costs. I could not find where the revenue was included in the analysis. Was that included, the revenue from the...
I can answer that, Chairman Hansen.
Would you identify yourself, please?
Yes, this is Dave Peterson again.
Thank you.
And I was the one that analyzed it for the commission staff. The commission staff's recommendation, and it was ultimately adopted by MDU, and it's reflected in the settlement, is that the investment revenues and expenses would be excluded from base rates, but be recovered through the PGA. So that's why you don't see any revenues in the base rate calculation.
Thank you. And here I thought I found something that all you experts missed. I guess not. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I would ask our counsel, Mr. Smith, and Mr. Rizlov, an analyst who works with the commissioners, if either one of them saw any major surprises in this, and Counsel Smith, if there's any legal issue or error or unreasonableness that you've seen in this.
Not that I perceive, no. Again, we've talked about the consolidation, and it's obviously a different type of issue than we usually see. But I guess I, from my opinion, in, on a long-term basis, I think it really makes sense. And I think it's a reasonable thing to do. It will consolidate and I think, significantly reduce the amount of cost associated with just rate proceedings, for one thing, and other things, billing costs and so on and so on. And so to me, it makes sense. And nothing jumped out at me. I thought everything, every part of the settlement that I saw looked like a reasonable decision.
Thank you. Mr. Rizlov?
Yeah, I had a couple things. Number one, the term a fairly ordinary rate case was used, and from an analyst's point of view, there were no tricky issues. It was a fairly garden variety case, so I'm not going to take issue with that description. I think that's accurate when one looks at the individual issues. There was nothing that jumped off the page being strange or unusual. This is fairly garden variety type of issues that we and other states have handled for the last 80 years at least. But I did have one thing I wanted to point out. The statement was made that blending means East River gets a decrease and West River gets an increase. And I don't know if that's an accurate statement. As a matter of fact, I would question its accuracy. I would expect it's very possible, had East River done a standalone, it would have perhaps had a larger decrease, and had West River done a standalone, it perhaps may have had a larger increase. We don't know because it wasn't done that way, but in theory, just because one went down one division and the other went up doesn't necessarily mean that one caused the movement in the other. I think they probably moved the way they would have standing alone. We don't really know, but I would certainly like staff and the company to comment on that statement, whether or not they agree that there perhaps is any validity to it.
This is Tammy Eberle for MDU, and as you mentioned, we did look at this in its totality, so we don't have any specific numbers to support that. However, we would not have been asking for an increase on the East River system. I can confirm that.
Yeah, this is Dave Peterson for Commission staff. We did ask in discovery for a breakout of the Black Hills and East River division before any rate increase. And we saw in percentage terms, a larger deficiency for Black Hills than we did for the East River. So if we scale that back, you know, that was at roughly $1.5 million proposed increase. If we scale that back to the $800,000 settlement, I would expect that the East River would probably be slightly negative and that the Black Hills division would still show a significant revenue deficiency. So that it wasn't necessarily rate consolidation that shows a decrease for the East River and an increase for Black Hills, just as you said, Mr. Rizlov.
Thank you all for your comments. Thank you, Mr. Rizlov, for pointing that out. Appreciate it. A couple of housekeeping items for me at this juncture are that it's my understanding that within the conditions stipulated in the agreement that the company agrees to refund customers the difference between the interim rates and the new rates that were collected during the period between July 22nd through November 30th with interest. Is that correct?
I'll let Tammy answer that, Commissioner.
Chairman, that is correct.
So we don't need to include that as part of the motion. That is part of the stipulation already.
Correct.
Thank you. And it's my understanding further that the company will file a separate proposal for the interim rate refund following commission if the commission approves the settlement.
Chairman, that is also correct.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other items that we need to cover at this juncture on the that anyone knows of? Mr. Copeland, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Council just wanted
check and make certain that you were on in case we had missed someone.
Yes, I've been on.
Appreciate that very much. Seeing no, are there any, I should ask commissioners if any further questions have cropped up on the, seeing, hearing none, is there a motion on on NG 12-008?
Mr. Chairman, in NG 12-008, I move that the commission grant the joint motion for approval of settlement stipulation and approve the rates, tariff sheets, terms, and conditions stipulated therein.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion?
If I might, Mr. Chairman, obviously the apparent issue for me as I looked at this, the first time I looked at it, was the disparity in the rate change between the Black Hills customers and the East River customers. And when you look at those percentage differences, one being a positive, one being a negative, I mean, that's going to get anybody's attention. And so I went into that, like Mr. Peterson, went into this pretty skeptical about that. But as I analyzed it and understood two things, basic, number one, that this is going to lead to greater efficiency. Greater efficiency drives down costs for business and ultimately drives down costs for customers. And so that tells me it's the right thing to do. But secondly, I think a little bit of history is in order also. If we look back at the last rate case that MDU brought before this commission, the East River residential rates increased 17.8%. The Black Hills residential rates increased 1.6%. Wow. That's quite a difference between what Black Hills did and what East River did. And so if I net out the last rate increase and this current proposed rate increase, the East River customer residential increase comes out at 13.7%. And the Black Hills increase comes out at 5.9%. Pretty stark difference yet, if you net those two together. And so what that tells me is that if we don't put these two units together today, we're going to have this ping-pong match between West River and East River every time we do a rate case. Somebody's going to be paying more, somebody's going to be paying less. One time it's going to be West River, one time it's going to be East River, and I don't think that makes sense for anybody. And it certainly doesn't make sense for the efficient operation of a business. And so as I analyzed all of that, I came to the conclusion that this is, in fact, the right thing to do with these two business entities is to put them together. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I hope we can support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? I appreciate the statement that Commissioner Nelson made. The efficiencies from blending the two are well documented from the information that we've received, and obviously the ratepayers are the ones who are going to benefit from that. Certainly there will be administrative benefits for the company as well, and we sincerely appreciate the fact that that was worked through and that was accomplished. With that, hearing no further discussion. Excuse me, Commissioner Fegan, did you have? Commissioner Nelson, on the vote.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. We stand adjourned.